up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, January 21st. I know, it's been a week. It's January. What do you want from me, all right? But we're heading into the divisional round, and I wanted to get you set up for everything with this weekend's action. Four great games, man. Four great games indeed. So we're going to just dive into the matchups here. I'll also talk about prize picks like I did last week on the show. Remember, ftndaily.com/prize picks if you want to get in, get your deposit bonus, all that fun stuff. And then my prize picks edge tool. I actually just updated that right before I hit record here. So I got the freshest lines for you. Cincinnati and Tennessee kicking it off. And obviously Tennessee does head into this one. They're the number one seed as the favorite. 3.5-point line right now out there on DraftKings and FanDuel. 47.5 over under in this one. Let's start on the Tennessee side. I was trying to wait this bad boy out to see if we would get any news. As of right now, well, no news just yet. No news in terms of Derrick Henry. That's what I was waiting for. But the rumblings are that he will be activated at some point today, and probably by the time you listen to this, he is activated. That's what I thought all along, that he was going to be good to go here. And it's kind of one of those, like, oh, no, now you're all in trouble kind of moments. You get your guy back. You got the extra week to rest him. You know this offense runs through him. And honestly, earlier in the season, when he was healthy before the injury, it looked like a Super Bowl-type team. Now, I'm not saying they were the absolute nuts, the absolute favorite, because we're also dealing with an AFC that has Kansas City and Buffalo in it, but they look like a Super Bowl-caliber team. Of course, we saw the volume. We know he will slide right back into his regular role. We're not going to see a ton of Deontay Foreman or any of the other guys, McNichols, Hilliard, not going to see them. And it's a very favorable matchup. Cincinnati, 4.33 yards per carry to opposing backs in the regular season. They're going to have their hands full. Now, if you don't think Tennessee makes it to the Super Bowl, this might be the week to use Derrick Henry. I'll be clear on that one. As far as, you know, DFS is concerned, if you're playing the full slate, you know, Derrick Henry's going to cost you. He is the most expensive back on the slate, so I'll probably be slightly underweight on him there. Actually, you know what? No, I'll probably be right on. If you think 15 to 20% ownership, then I'll probably be right on that. As far as Tannehill is concerned, I'm not using Tannehill in any lineup where I'm using Henry. If I am using Tannehill, I'm going to build lineups with A.J. Brown. I think that's pretty obvious. Brown's matchup's not bad on the other side, unless they use Chidobe Awuzie to shadow him, which I don't think they do. He'll see more Eli Apple than he will Awuzie, and that's good for A.J. Brown. As far as Cincinnati is concerned, I mean, we have a workhorse on the other side. Joe Mixon, 20.9 touches per game in the regular season. He had 21 last week, so he's basically right on that number. Now, he wasn't particularly effective on the ground against the Raiders, but where we've seen the uptick recently is in the passing game. Over the last three, he has 17 catches over that span, which I think is pretty good because he's going to need it. He's not going to be efficient in this one as well. Tennessee, the worst fantasy matchup for running backs in the regular season, just 3.78 yards per carry allowed. It's a tough one. Now, he'll still see volume, so I'm not going to completely outright fade him, but after last week, man, I was so heavy on him in DFS. I'll probably be light on him. His price point is better than Derrick Henry at 6,600 on DraftKings, but I'll probably be light on him. Of course, Burrow, there's two faces of Burrow, right? I think it's really easy for a lot of folks to just remember what he did in the fantasy football playoffs, where he single-handedly won a lot of folks their leagues, him and Ja'Marr Chase and maybe some T. Higgins. But we also had Burrow right before that, for several weeks, was a complete liability. So just keep that in mind with Joe Burrow. Don't go overboard on him. I'm going to build some Burrow-Chase lineups. I think I'll build a Burrow-Chase Tyler Boyd, because Tyler Boyd's matchup out of the slot is pretty favorable here. Maybe use some CJ Uzama as well. I'm not going to have Chase and Higgins in the same lineup. Prize picks going Joe Mixon over 16.5 receiving yards. You're getting like 4 or 5 yards on the sports books there, so I think that's very favorable. San Francisco and Green Bay. Of course, right now, Green Bay heavily favored. This is the largest spread on the board. 4 or 5.5, that is, on both FanDuel and DraftKings. 47.5 over under on FanDuel, 47 on DraftKings. On the San Francisco side, Elijah Mitchell has 6 straight games of 20-plus carries, so you could figure he's probably in the mix for 20-plus carries here. 27 last week for 96 and a score. Very solid DFS play. I will be heavy on Elijah Mitchell. Of course, Green Bay, the 5th worst fantasy matchup for running backs in the regular season, but 4.32 yards per carry, so he should be relatively efficient in this one on the ground. If I am using anything in the passing game, I'm not using Mitchell, but I really don't. I'm not going to use Jimmy Garoppolo. I think the only stack you have with Jimmy Garoppolo, by the way, is not Deebo Samuel, because Debo's doing most of his damage on the ground. It's George Kittle. So I'll use Deebo without Garoppolo, but that's about it. They should have Jair back, by the way, for the Green Bay Packers. On the other side, and that's for DFS purposes, by the way, on the other side, it's almost a 50-50 split in the backfield. You have 14.9 touches per game for Aaron Jones in the regular season, 13 for A.J. Dillon. I think both of those guys are used very similar. They both have a cap. I will say this. I'm using A.J. Dillon's prize picks of 38.5 rushing yards on the over, but that's such a low number that it's not really – we're not looking at him as a big-time fantasy factor with that number. As far as Rodgers is concerned, if you're using Rodgers, you're probably using Devontae Adams, but you are probably paying out the you-know-what for that. Maybe some price relief with Alan Lazard because, we're not going to see Marquez Valdez-Scantling in this one, but that's a little bit volatile, and I'm not going as far as using Randall Cobb. Now watch, Randall Cobb scores like 2 touchdowns in this game. Also, there were some lower Josiah DeGuara player prop lines out there. I have them projected at 19 receiving yards, but I think they've moved up since a couple days ago when I saw that 2 days ago. Anyway, that should be an interesting one, but Sunday feels like the bigger of the 2 days for fantasy purposes. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll dive into the Rams and Bucks contest. Remarkable. I mean, that's the word I have. That's what comes to mind when I think of Cam Akers getting back on the field and not only playing, just this close to an Achilles injury. You know, we're normally talking at least an 8-month timetable here, and 8 months is still a couple of months away for Cam Akers. But not only that, but looking as good as he did last week. It is truly remarkable. Truly remarkable. And honestly, I've been talking about this all week long. I do think that Akers poses a big challenge for this Tampa run defense. Tampa will be very effective against Sony Michel. A between the tackles runner, man, Vita Vea is going to eat that up all day long. But where you run into some problems with Akers is while he can certainly run between the tackles, he offers a much more dynamic skill set, more burst than what you have with Sony Michel, and that is going to be challenging. At his price point, Cam Akers, his price point is reasonable enough where I do think some decent exposure to him makes a lot of sense. Of course, the question is, do you Cooper Kupp or not? And initially it was looking like there was a chance Sean Murphy Bunting was not going to play this week. He did manage to get back into practice yesterday as of Thursday. I'm taking a peek. I don't have a Friday report yet. Sean Murphy Bunting out there, it's not like it moves us off of Cooper Kupp, but it maybe moves Cooper Kupp from me being heavy Cooper Kupp, even at his price point, because he was going to face Antoine Winfield in the slot, to being reasonable Cooper Kupp, probably right around ownership, which would I think is probably going to be around 30% on this slate. I still think he can have a massive game, of course. Pairing him up with Stafford makes a lot of sense. If you wanted to double stack there, I actually think Higbee is the double stack. Given his price point, Higbee is one of the better plays on the entire slate. Given his price point and given that comparative to the rest of the position. Like running back, everything's pretty condensed this week. Wideout kind of is that after you get outside of sort of Cooper Kupp and Devontae Adams. Like Debo's kind of in no man's land in between them, but then it really condenses down and so there isn't like standouts. But man, when you compare Tyler Higbee to like Travis Kelce at the top, Rob Gronkowski, even to Dawson Knox, he's $900 cheaper than Dawson Knox. So it does make him a very appealing play. As for Tampa, I also was waiting to see about Leonard Fournette. The expectation is that he is activated as well, like Derrick Henry. Right back out there. You know, last year he was almost off the team. He basically had one foot out the door, and then he righted the ship, and he was a big part of their win. You know, their Super Bowl win, the whole run. He was phenomenal. I would expect him to step right back into the heavy workload that he sees. Now, his price point makes him, on DraftKings, very likely one of the most heavily rostered. He's at 5,700. I'll probably be a little light on him. Like, the matchup's fine. It's a mid-pack matchup against the Rams. They're not as stout against the run as they are against the pass. They're much tougher on the pass. So keep that in mind. Brady, they're much tougher on the pass. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm rolling in this Brady-Evans stack, well, first and foremost, being that the Bucs are so banged up at wide receiver, you know, you have Perryman and Grayson banged up. Obviously, you have no Chris Godwin. You have no Antonio Brown anymore. They're banged up. I think the Rams almost certainly use Jalen Ramsey. Even if it's not the entire game, they're gonna have Ramsey travel with Evans for a good chunk of this game. That puts a big damper on Evans. It also makes Gronk that much more appealing, but, you know, some volatility there. Man, Brady and Gronk in the playoffs, though, usually can't go wrong with that one. Just saying. So I'm going to build a lineup like that there with those guys in this game. All right, final game. Buffalo, Kansas City. Oh, boy. And actually, I didn't mention the line for the Rams game. So right now, it's a 2.5-point spread on DraftKings, a 3-point spread on FanDuel, 48.5 over-under. 1.5 on FanDuel, 2 on DraftKings for Buffalo and Kansas City, 53.5 over-under on FanDuel, 54.5 over-under on DraftKings. So it's going to be a high score, very likely. They combined for 58 points when they faced each other back in Week 5, but I don't think we can take much away from that game. These teams are very different than they were back then. And this, in a lot of ways, for fantasy purposes, is kind of our Super Bowl, right? These are the two most explosive offenses remaining. And this is going to be fun. Last week was a huge surprise for Kansas City because Jerick McKinnon, well, shout out RBs don't matter. You know, shout out to you guys because Jerick McKinnon surprised everybody, came out and played one of the games of his life. He was awesome last week. He really was. Huge surprise. Now, of course, that was without Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who should be back this week. He's practicing in full, so I can't see a scenario where he isn't there. Darrell Williams looking unlikely at this point with a toe injury. I think this is one of those scenarios, like if you look on DFS, McKinnon, both of them, their prices are awesome, but there's just so much darn volatility that I don't know if I want to use either of them. Like one and done's, I'm going to skip this backfield this week, especially because I think Kansas City does win, but it's a tricky one. As far as Mahomes is concerned, the Mahomes-Kelsey stack is too expensive for my taste. Mahomes-Hill stack actually is reasonable when you compare Tyreek Hill's price point to Cooper Kupp's, for example, and his ceiling is higher than Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's floor is enormous, but Hill has one of the highest ceilings. Hill and Jamar Chase have the two highest ceilings this weekend. Anyway, I could go with that. I mean, you could use Byron Pringle. He's nice and cheap. Or, you know, if I am going to, for some reason, use these running backs, and I'll probably fade Mahomes in that roster if I do. I can't without much of an indication of how the touches are going to be distributed. Because, it could be McKinnon again, or it could just be all Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, anything could potentially happen here. As far as Buffalo is concerned, Josh Allen was so effective last week. And honestly, the matchup that we saw, this is why I'm saying we got to throw Week 5 out because the secondary really wasn't playing well that back then. They are now. They've been a big part of the success down the stretch with the exception of the Cincinnati game. So, man, Allen is tricky. Allen and Mahomes are going to be the most heavily rostered. And I'll tell you this. Like, if I have Mahomes, I am not using any Kansas City back. And likewise, if I have Allen, I'm not using Devin Singletary. I have to stack up in the passing game if I'm using either of these guys. Now, Allen, I think, is a little bit easier to stack. The price point on Diggs is decent. The price point on Knox is solid. I probably won't use anybody else outside of those guys just because, I mean, you're having a cannibalization with Emmanuel Sanders and Gabriel Davis. You don't really, and you kind of have that with McKenzie and Cole Beasley as well. So if I'm going to use anybody, it's Allen with Diggs, Allen with Knox. I guess I don't hate both, but you're going to need to find salary relief if you do that, if you double stack. Instead, my approach, I'm actually probably fading Allen more so in this one because I'm going to go after Singletary. At least 17 touches in each of his last five games, 20 plus in three of those games. And the Chiefs' run defense is allowing 4.65 yards per carry to opposing backfields. It shapes up really well for Singletary. Do love that one right there. By the way, I missed the prize picks from the other game, so I'll give you both the prize picks for the final the Sunday games altogether. But I'm going to go heavy on Devin Singletary. I will. Heavy on Devin Singletary for sure against this Kansas City defense. Prize picks wise, I'm actually going over on 42.5 receiving yards on Odell Beckham Jr. in the other game. He went over that last week, and I do think, you know, he doesn't have to do much. He doesn't have to have a massive day to get you over 42.5. But Patrick Mahomes' passing yards line for the final one for prize picks, it's 271.5. That's 10 yards lower than what you're finding on sportsbooks. I will take those extra 10 yards all day long. I have said it all along. I'm sticking to my story. I'm picking the Titans to win. I am picking the Packers to win. I am picking the Buccaneers to win and the Chiefs. And that one is so difficult, but I am picking them to win. And if they do win, I think it's going to be really on the arm of Patrick Mahomes. And so he blows by that number right there. So there you go. Divisional round. Of course, I have player props up over at FTNBets.com. I have the prize pick stuff over at FTNDaily.com. And projections over at FTNFantasy.com. And remember, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, hashtag Rat Pack. All right, I'll catch you next week for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.